Praise the name of the Lord. So if you have your pen, you can bring it out on your paper. We'll try to run I was supposed to be rounding up now, but I'm just starting. So don't sleep on me. Amen. Okay, let's start with Daniel chapter 7. It is Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 that talks about the throne of fire where God sits down. When you look at verse 14, it says, then to him was given, to Christ, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Jesus. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. And when Jesus came, was made manifest, yes, this prophecy was fulfilled. He came preaching, Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the earth and all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the world, the end of the world will come. He wanted everybody everywhere to know about this kingdom. He didn't want it to be hidden. No, it's not, of course, hidden. He didn't come from the backyard. He came from the front yard. He was tried publicly. He defeated the devil publicly. He made the announcement publicly that the keys of the kingdom of hell and heads have been collected by him. And then he said to the church, I will give you the keys so you have dominion and rule. And he was real. And it happens today. Matthew 6, verse 33. He taught his apostles to seek first this kingdom. This is where they now belong. They now belong to the kingdom of the Lord. Yes, people are worried, like these guys in politics, they are joining a party that is driven by a religious monster that wants to snipe life out of you and me. I want to change the demography of Nigeria and make it something else. And I want to tell you that it's a global war. The theme of our conference in Port Harcourt is Prepare for War. It's a global war. They want to take over this country. They almost have taken over Britain. Seven cities in Britain have their mayors. And recently, Prince Charles, King Charles, have declared for them publicly. What a shame. And they are fighting, but in latest publication, to have a mayor from their own extract for New York. So they want to take the whole world. And recently, they got a lady from among them who is in charge of immigration in the Home Office and the police and the UK. No country gives away that position to a foreigner. And Britain has done that. When you count the number of countries in Africa, probably about 53 independent countries and 7 non-independent countries, there's hardly none that has a Christian president. And when there was a call by a president in the Middle East of all their religious presidents in nations, almost every nation was there, and they were planning on how to destroy Israel. Israel said, we won't even stay awake for your meeting. When you finish, try it. Then you will attract our wrath to your nation, and we will come to where you are and pick you up. They return to their countries, and none of them is talking. But they are planning underneath. The challenge is this. While you sleep, they plant the towers and have access to the offices of power. They use the legal authority of those offices and war against the church. May the Lord open your eyes and your consciousness. about the struggle for the thrones of the kingdoms of this world. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible said that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through you. It's when you have access to all these kingdoms and gates that you will take the kingdom and you surrender them at the feet of Jesus. But if you don't do anything, God may be tempted to do what he did in the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. Wipe out everything, including you and me. For you, it may sound like a joke. It may be carried by the god of money and fame. But it's a shame if you have lost the consciousness that we are not of this world. We are supposed to belong to a kingdom. And I'm going forward. Luke chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are said before you, but then don't forget to heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you. The kingdom of God has come to you. Matthew 12:28, Luke 11:20. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Mark 1:15. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God has come. I wanted to make it clear in case somebody tells you we are waiting for a kingdom of God. Yes, we are waiting to go to heaven. But for the kingdom is here. The kingdom has come. And let's see how far the Lord will take us tonight. How do you qualify to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Number one, John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I said to you, unless somebody is born again, point and blank, he cannot see or smell the kingdom of God. He cannot become a part of it. You must be born again. You must be born again. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. The Pharisees came to Jesus to inquire about his future political ambitions. And Luke 17. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The next verse, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is already within you. It's already there. It's already there. There's a lot of differences between the earthly kingdom and the kingdom of God. I don't want to talk about much about that. The kingdom of the world is secular. It lords it over its people. It serves the self of the politicians. It collects taxes and tributes and bribes. It is temporary. It doesn't last very long. It's human. It's sinful. That's the kingdom that we see today in the world. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. For God so loved you. It's a kingdom of love. And then, if you don't love me, don't lead me. A man came from Jerusalem to preach in our conference. He asked us, do you love John 3:16? I said, yes. He said, what is there? He said, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son. Then he said, then you must love 1 John 3:16. I'm not sure you've thought about that. What is there? Can somebody tell me? 1 John 3:16. The place is quiet. You are looking at the board. Come on, close your eyes. Thereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And what? You won't easily forget that. John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. where you have to lay your own life like Jesus did. He modeled something about self-sacrifice that you have to do. It's a kingdom of love, a kingdom where the leaders are asked to serve the people they lead. It's a kingdom that, like we read in Daniel, was given to Jesus, and he shared it with us. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it's a kingdom of righteousness. There's no evil in it. What does the Bible teach us about this kingdom? We're going to run. Luke chapter 10, verse 29. It says, this kingdom has been appointed unto you. It's appointed unto you. And it's not something anybody can change. God has appointed it unto you. Luke 12, 32. It is the pleasure of the Father to give us the kingdom. So it's not like we are asking for the impossible. The Father, Baba wants you to have it. Matthew 12, 25. Mark 3, 24. Luke 11, 17. All of them talk about the same thing. The kingdom of God cannot be divided. There's one King, Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords. And this kingdom is under him. Colossians 1:13. The Bible said we've been translated into the kingdom of God. Not that we will be translated. The moment you give your life to Christ, your name appears in the book of life. It's a register of citizens of that kingdom. I went to Singapore and discovered that they have a small piece of land. Singapore as a country is not as big as Asaba. No. The longest road in Singapore is about 25 miles. And so, a lot of their military wear are underground. They borrow sand to build house. Yes. Before they began to refine their water, they borrowed water to drink. Okay. They were part of another country. They were pushed away to go and die in the swamp. But they told themselves, we will not die. We will not die. They elected somebody who is like the prime minister of the country. And he was the highest prime minister in the world, except in Nigeria, where the politicians collect how much they want to be paid. Not determined by the people. And then he began to train their people. Anybody who is a Singaporean, whether your mama gets money or you no gets, they trained you. And as soon as you pass secondary school, enter university, your name is registered in their book. They don't register babies. They register those who have entered into the university. And they allocate an accommodation to you. As you graduate, you go with your graduation paper to the office and collect your own house. It could be a flat of 3-bedroom or 2-bedroom, and it's furnished. Recently, I learned that their children are saying, give us money to furnish it to our test. But your house is given to you. It's already built, waiting for you to graduate, and you collect it. And I said, look at us in Nigeria. The graduates are looking for job. They're in Singapore. Their graduates are going to collect their buildings. When I had it initially, I didn't believe it until I went there. And Singapore is very much like my village and your village. Coconut grow there. Orange trees grow there. They have sand like we have. A lot of it they reclaimed from the water. You know, it's not in heaven, it's on earth. And they have the largest seaport in the Middle East, the smallest country. And every electronic company in Japan is in Singapore. Why? They send their children government scholarship to the best universities in the world to study electronics because they felt threatened by Japan. And when the boys and the girls came back, they sent them to Japan to look for work. And they went to Japan And they were given work. They worked themselves to the top cadre in all the companies. And they told them to come back to Singapore. When they all submitted their letter of resignation, one day, Japan began to sweat. How do we get these boys and men, girls back? They came back to Singapore to receive instructions. And the Singapore said, they said, build exactly what you have there in Singapore. Then we stay back to work for you. Singapore was compelled to build every electronic company you have in Japan, in Singapore. That small place. And so their sons and daughters worked in Singapore while they raised some other younger ones. And worked in Japan while they raised some other younger ones to work in Singapore. And Nigerian businessmen went to Singapore to ask them, how did you do this? Well, I pray that the Lord will give us wisdom. Our father here, who is the presiding bishop, is not a lazy man. And he's the manufacturer of things. And you can become rich with monthly wages. In the U.S., they call it 5 to 9. 9 to 5, sorry. You report to work at 9 and you leave at 5. You can become a multimillionaire with wages. Whether it is their president or governors or others who have money, they got there by buying and selling land and buildings. Business is very essential. And don't want to start big like our bishop. They started small and built whatever they have until it became big. If you are a man here, okay, I will ask your wives to ask you, what's your dream for tomorrow? If your dream is to write an application and look for a job and go somewhere, if Bill Gates wrote an application and then looked for a job and then was going morning till evening, you will not be hearing about Microsoft. He won't have the kind of money he has. But he joined hands with a friend, and in a garage, they began to produce something. If I'm in Onisha, then I will encourage them to get more into what they do. I know Onisha people are here too. I want to say to you, you cannot be rich with paid salaries. But if you're doing ministry and you're working with a church and you are paid a stipend, that's not what I'm talking about. A young man was working in a big company. And there was a need in his church. He resigned to go and take up that responsibility. The company doubled his salary 5 times. He said to them, your pay is big, but your work is small. I'm going to my church to do kingdom service. It's not about your pay. When I graduated from university, I did my youth service in Scripture Union and started to serve a little bit as a tithe to the Lord before I go on to my banking ambition. You know, I asked this youth to pay my salary to somebody who had need, but I didn't apply for job to get their salary. I went to marry. My father-in-law asked me, where do you work? I said, in Scripture Union. He said, what grade level is that? I said, Papa, I don't know. I've never thought about it. He lashed me with his mouth, but I married his daughter. Praise the name of the Lord. My father-in-law had 20 children. My wife was number 13. And by the time he died, he placed me as the first son in his house. Stay focused. Not because I had all the money in the world, but because I have God on my side. So I'm not talking about those who are called to ministry. Don't steal church money. Okay. But then if you are doing business and you're a member of a church, begin to work on it. Just came back from about the last week, and they called a young girl, slim, to serve me food in the hotel. And then on the second day, I asked the girl, You know, who creates this food you serve me? He said, me. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a caterer. I said, where did you learn? He said, I went to school for it for 3 years. I said, so what kind of meals can you create? By the time this girl named all the meals he created, and all the meals he served me that would looked foreign and awesome, I asked her, are you married? She said, no. Has somebody proposed to you? She said, not yet. I began to crack my head. How I wish one of my sons, you know, was looking for a wife. This girl produces so many things, runs a factory. A young girl. So don't wait for your husband to go and do it and then bring money to you. Become creative. Invent things. My ministry has the women wing called Apostolic Women. Now, the Apostolic Women leader for a city in Florida is a woman who produces power bikes for women. See, this power bike that went to do, 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 they make noise. A lot of it are for men. But if you find anyone produced with a women contour and flair, it was produced by an apostolic woman, the only woman in every trade fair that comes with power bikes for women. And so women can ride their own, sit down, and comfortable. My friend Tunde Adeleye said, you full ground, you know, you sit down and enjoy it. You will feel like they put you on a horse. You feel like you're sitting in your kitchen. Power bike, manufactured by a woman. And so, women, don't think that getting into manufacturing business is only for men and your husbands. Be creative. Close your eyes and ask God to give me a dream of the night. Tell me what I should wake up and talk about. I went to Scripture Union Camp of Faith, which we helped to build. And they have built many buildings there. And I asked them, come, where do you get the money? Because SU people used to be afraid of talking about money. He said it is from pure water. That pure water has built story buildings inside the compound. So whatever business you do, if you do it very well, it helps you create wealth and have money in your hands. And then you'll be able to help your church. You help to build the kingdom. Well, I'm talking about the kingdom, and which needs to be built. Luke chapter 18, 15 to 17, it is said that the kingdom of God is for those who have simple hearts. If you don't have the heart of a child, you will not have access to the kingdom. There must be forgiveness, and you forget, and you don't have malice, don't have bitterness, you don't have unforgiveness. Luke 1:33, the kingdom of God has no end. You get into it, and you grow in it, and you enjoy it. Yes. One of our God generals who passed away recently, you know, was told 30 years ago that he will pass away this year. The wife was telling us. So while everybody's struggling, why, the man wanted to go home. Wanted to go home. And before then, he called his children, said, you take care of this. You take care of this. You take care of your mother. You take this. I'm going. It was only the wife he didn't tell he was going. And the children were afraid to tell their mother. The kingdom has no end. It starts from here. And it continues. The Bible says in Revelation 21:27, nothing that defiles enters into it. It's a holy kingdom. It's a holy kingdom. And 1 Corinthians 9:27 said, it's possible that after you have been to church, you lose out on the kingdom because of compromise and living in sin. God forbid. God forbid. that you will fast and pray, go on evangelism. If at all you were a Christian and you were doing those things, give your seed, give your offerings, and then you miss it. God forbid. What the kingdom of God is not. 1 Corinthians 4:20 is not in words. We're talking about the kingdom, power and glory. But it's in power. Yes. From beginning to finish, it has to do with power, demonstration. Luke 9:63 or 62. It's not for the undecided and inconsistent fellows who put their hands on the plow and turn away. Some people backslide. You are not ripe for the kingdom. Romans 14, verse 17. It's not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Pastor Sam says, don't be hungry for suya. Be hungry for what God has to offer to you. For man shall not live by bread alone. That one beats the devil hands down. You know. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. It's not for habitual sinners. Now I'm trying to, and I'm a body. But if I can go, you know, temptations everywhere. It's not for those people. The people who enter into the kingdom are strong people, decisive people. Yes. I had read earlier before, Luke 17:20, when God, Jesus, told the Pharisees, it doesn't come by observation. You have to rise up and give your life to Christ. If you're here tonight and you have not given your life to Christ, it doesn't come by here, twisting your waist, joining us to dance. You know, we come here to celebrate our liberty and who we are. So, if you want to do it for real, then give your life to Christ. It doesn't come by observation. Okay? And then we don't compare with any, because there's no kingdom comparable to our kingdom. Our kingdom has manners. What does the kingdom of God stand for? I said to you that Samuel came to Israel to tell them the manners of the kingdom, how to conduct yourself in the kingdom. This is very, very important. My daughter in Trinidad and Tobago, who trains the protocol officers in government house, in White House in the U.S., says they pay her $6,000 per hour, per person. How much is $6,000 in Naira? 7 point something million or 8 point something million? That's what they pay her per hour. To train them on protocol. What's protocol? The right way of doing things. That's the right way of doing things globally. That's the right way of doing things locally. I preached in a church in Jamaica about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and a girl who was leading worship was misbehaving, and I rebuked her. And somebody told me that it is the culture of that place. I'm sorry if I mentioned the name of the place. I could have said more things, but I can't say anything. There are manners of the kingdom of God. Number one. 1 Peter 2:9 said, be holy, for I am holy. If you have entered into the kingdom of God, if Christ has entered into your heart, then seek to be holy, without which nobody can stay there. Nobody can stay there. Number two, the kingdom of God is glorious. I will come to that. Psalm 145:10-13. By the time we begin to talk about power and glory, then we will get into that. It's an excellent kingdom, number three, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. You are asked to walk worthy of the kingdom. It has standards. I am grateful to the people who cook food and bring to us in the hotel. They are disciplined and humble, and I appreciate you. God bless you. The kingdom of God has manners, and their philosophy is excellence. Number four, our motto in the kingdom of God is love one another. Jesus said, if you have love one for another, then are ye my disciples. Then you show that you are in the kingdom. Number six, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. Righteousness is what you do at the level, at the grand level. And then holiness is what you do vertically, and righteousness horizontally. The word righteousness is gotten from the word righteous. If you do the righteous thing and practice it as a lifestyle, then it becomes righteousness. While you're supposed to be holy towards God, you're supposed to be righteous towards one another. Do the right thing as a permanent feature in your life. That is righteousness. Number seven, selflessness, Romans 12:10. In honor, prefer one another. You don't fight for seats in church. You don't. Anybody who comes fighting for seats, know that that person is an unbeliever and needs to be saved. Quietly leave the seat so the person can sit down there until the person is born again. Am I communicating? Honor, in honor, prefer one another. That's something about the kingdom, selflessness. Number eight, forgiveness is commanded. Jesus said, how many times will somebody offend you in a day and you stop forgiving? The best thing is to stay away from the person who offends you. Stay away from the source of offense. You know, because Jesus said it's 70 times 7 offenses in a day. That's what the kingdom of God says. So, my own suggestion is stay away, run away from the source of the offense so it cannot come to overwhelm you. It's more difficult if the offender does not think that you have a right and so keeps offending you. Yes, so run away. Run away. That's why Jesus taught disciples to pray, deliver me from temptation. Yeah. Shouldn't stay there until you're overpowered. And then you begin to complain that God did not deliver you. The kingdom of God is about power manifestations and demonstrations. We will soon get there. Those manners have divisions. What you owe, what we owe one another, and what we owe God. What do we owe God? Total love. The kingdom of God, in his kingdom. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, emotions and mind, and with all your strength. You fight for it. Some of you sit down where they make mockery of God and church people, and you laugh. May God forgive you. That does not show you love God. David arrived and saw Goliath insulting the army of the living God. He said, excuse me, who is this uncircumcised Philistines that he is, you know, insulting the armies of the living God? He dropped the food and walked to his brothers, and then they said, we will give you a knock on the head now, you nasty boy. He left them and went to someone who took him to King Saul. King Saul said, son, before your father married your mother, that man had been fighting. And David said, before you go too far, can I tell you where I'm coming from? I have with hand caught a lion, opened the mouth, tore it, and brought out my sheep. I have caught a bear with one hand, and I tore it, and I'll tear that guy that way. And King Saul realized he had never caught a chicken and taught a chicken before. He said, boy, you can go. And he went and he defeated Goliath and came back. He loved God so much that he saw a man insulting the army of God, not even God himself. He was so afraid. He was so, infuriated. How dare him, the army of Israel, of the living God? How dare him? But there were 7,000 people who were looking at the man, talking, and they didn't feel it. Just like the day I saw three corpses on the highway, and I saw two that had Jesus' face on their dresses. And I knelt down there and said, God, give me back their lives. Otherwise, I won't get up from here. And he gave me back their lives. I don't know when they died. I couldn't. Why would somebody reproach God before me? So these are the reasons, the dynamics, the faith structures on which glory and power stand. There were many people passing. There were many people watching and saying sorry. But there was one man who couldn't pass because the glory of his father is at stake. And if you are that type of child of God, you'll be walking in grace, high level. You'll be walking in power. And you'll be attracting glory to God and to yourself. It doesn't matter the village where you come from. I come from one village. If I call the name, you won't even know where it is in the map. But I went to Australia. And the Prime Minister was my crusade director. It doesn't matter where I come from. I am a kingdomite. I belong to the kingdom of God. And that's all that matters to me. I don't talk about the country where I come from. Because that's not what I market. I market the power of the Holy Ghost. I market the glory of God. And that's what's important to people. They need help. The name of my village won't help them. My degree won't help them. My title will not help them. And that's why I don't bother. Whether you call me Musi or Brother Musi, it doesn't matter. The protocol demands that you find the correct title of people when you are introducing them. Don't make that blunder again. Love God. Love Him passionately. Love Him without limits. Number two, I went to Israel to buy keys in Jerusalem to take home for people who didn't go with me to Jerusalem. And I poured it on the ground to count it. Hey! A Muslim rushed at me. Those things are holy things. They shouldn't be on the floor. Started packing them. I felt ashamed. For me, they were ordinary key holders. But to that man, he had Jerusalem and Christian things on them. I shouldn't touch the floor. The way you were brought up matters a lot. If you were brought up to despise God, throw the Bible on the floor, and just play tantrums, you'll be doing that. It doesn't matter how old you are. Love God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Number three, have a violent faith. Matthew 11 verse 12 says, since the time of John the Baptist, what happens? The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Some of you may come from worry. When my friend Olukoya went there to do crusade, he got a native to interpret for him. And when he touched this topic, the person said, people know the kingdom of God, I suffer when they suffer. And the person will not agree. They take them back by gri-gri. By gri-gri, if you know gri. The kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violent Take it by faith. Why do you need to take it by faith? The enemy comes like a roaring lion with intimidation. That's what some false religions and cults do. If you leave us, you will die. If you do this, and I'll just say to them, shut up. You don't know whom you're talking to. One day God said to me to go and destroy all the shrines in Abia State. I said, where? One village said no. So I bought two buses, hired policemen and soldiers, and raised a team. And I was going from one autonomous community to other. And I call a meeting. I tell the youth why we must destroy the bad structures and lay a new structure for them to prosper. And I told them we must destroy, like Gideon, the altars of Baal. They said, Ochebe, hey, and they went with me. We cut down shrines, bought them, went to native doctors' houses, brought their shrines to the primary school field, bought them openly. And I said to them, sir, if you want a new job, I'll give you the capital, but stop killing people. I don't know how many. Somebody told me we destroyed about 9,000 shrines. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. By force. Don't do it except the Lord asks you to do that. But you know, anybody wear no green, ain't going to take him by gri-gri. Praise the name of the Lord. Number four, every member of the kingdom must be a passionate pursuant of the kingdom agendas. Luke chapter 16, verse 16 said, men press to enter into the kingdom. They don't just look at it. They don't just come close. They press. If you are here and your passion and your zeal is weak, no, do something about it. Do something about it. Number five, honor the king. We must honor the king. Maybe you didn't see your parents. They died early. Sorry. They couldn't model for you who God is. Jesus taught disciples to pray, our Father who art in heaven. There's a Father who art on earth. The Father who gave birth to you. You must honor him. You must honor your mother. It is one law that has a promise that your days may be long on earth. It's easier if you honor your parents to honor the king. Don't be a street boy and act like armed robbers that have no honor for anybody. Our kingdom is a disciplined kingdom. We honor our king. Number six, everybody in the kingdom of God is committed in one way or the other. There are no bystanders, standbys. You know, join a department in your church. It's a part of serving the kingdom. I'm just trying to conclude that. Number seven, be loyal to the kingdom and don't betray the king. Be loyal to your pastor and don't betray him. Don't betray Jesus in politics, in military, in commerce, in whatever you do. Don't betray him. In the kingdom of God, we have only one Judas and he's dead. The rest are nice people. Hello? Don't betray your leaders. Now, the reward of betrayal, you know in the life of Judas, that it didn't go well. So in the kingdom of God, it's required of us not to be traitors, not to betray, not to tell lies against each other. No, it is not supposed to be so. All right, I'm just going close to something very important. And that's number eight. And that will introduce me to the power dimension of the kingdom. Those who wear no greed, they take and break greed. And the only way the kingdom grows is by power demonstration. It's not by carrying the sword and killing people and burning churches and cutting the head of people who go to church who don't believe in your religion. No. It is by helping people powerfully, by overpowering the powers of darkness, by confronting monsters in the dream and in the physical, by dealing with the mermaid spirits in the Niger here. Yes. Bringing them to come under your feet and setting the captives free. That's what Jesus came. He got into the temple, picked up the book of the law, and he said, this, what I'm going to read is being fulfilled before you. The kingdom of God is here. Why? Because I've been anointed and I'm raising everybody who comes into the kingdom to break the powers of darkness and set the captives free. I'm so very grateful to God you came for this believers' convention so that you may receive grace and power to set the captives free. And that's why I like this song in Igbo. Oruwo Chineke, Oruwo. Oruwo Meganara. Now, tell those people who are sleeping that Professor Maduba wants to know the revelation God gave. Tell her. What revelation did God give her? Hello, baby. Good morning. Let's sing that song together. One, two, go. Oruwo Chineke, Oruwo. Oruwo Miganara. Oruwo, Oruwo. Come on, faster. We want to wake those who are sleeping. Oruwo, 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 Chineke, Oruwo, Oruwo, Megazara, Oruwo, Oruwo,
Oruwo, Chineke, Oruwo, Oruwo, Megazara, Oruwo, Oruwo,
song, you will take 3 steps forward, 3 steps back, you know, like you are warming up for something. So you sing that song one more time, and we will dance it like this. All right, one, two, go.
Oruwo, Chineke, Oruwo. Oruwo, Mijazani, Ebere. Oruwo, Oruwo.
Shake somebody by your side and say, those wear no green, the thing where the devil go do, then they take them by green. And in this season, me and you go take them by green. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. Kingdom. Told you how to get in there. Be born again. Live a holy life. For nothing that is sinful, we have access to it. For those who continue to live in sin and iniquity will not even see it. They will hear about it, but they won't get in there. But what about the power side? Our God is an almighty God. He's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the commander of his own side. He's the one that spies in the camp of the enemy. And everything on our side can be turned into weapons. Elijah will say, let fire come from heaven. And someone will say, let the ground open and swallow you. Somebody can command the wind to come against you. Yes. Somebody will call for a sword to come from the heavens and slice off the head of Leviathan. And you'll be watching, it is going to be happening. A brother called Kure from the north called me one day. I said, what's going on in Port Harcourt? I said, what do you mean? He said they were praying and a monster rose from the sea and was shouting my name and said, leave us alone. So he wants to know what's going on. I said, they never begin so for self. We are planning more dangerous maneuvers. One day God said to me, go to France and stop a global meeting of a cult. I took 5 people and flew to Paris. By the time we were done, the seas were covered with blood. The knife came from up. The monster was slaughtered. The meeting ended in disarray. Heads of states of many countries, they rushed to the airport and ran away. The kingdom of God is not bread and butter. It's not for weaklings. The kingdom of God is made manifest. Jesus said, if I cast demons, if I chase them out, if I command them to depart, and that's a voice for deliverance, you don't cast out demons with sleep eye. There are demons that Jesus, the Bible said, and he lifted up his voice and he commanded the spirit. Our spirits, depending on how many are there, and they left. There are times when you'll be required as a citizen of this country or this kingdom not to just speak, but to roar like a lion. Maybe you have not started practicing it as a citizen. You're supposed to roar. How many of you know how to roar like a lion? I'm going to ask you to do that now. One, at the count of 3, 2, 3, go! When a lion comes out on the jungle and it's moving like every other animal, all the other animals will still be, you know, fighting and struggling over food. But when they hear, "Aah!" they put their tails in between their legs and they look for the nearest exit. Otherwise, they'll become food for the lion. The kingdom of God is not for cheap people. It's for warriors. And that's why we try to help our people understand the various level of warfare. In the ancient times, our spiritual ancestors were all warriors. Every son, every princess was a warrior, whether you're a boy or a girl. When the war starts, the enemy will go for the king and for the children of the king. And so you have to fight to defend yourself. Moses led Egypt in warfare 2 times before he ran away. He was raised as a soldier. Abraham in Genesis 14:14 had 318 men in his house. I don't know how many men are sitting here in the front. And they were soldiers, warriors, sitting with Abraham. And when Lot was taken, the Bible said he armed them. He brought arms. And I said, what was Father Abraham of faith doing with weapons? Father Abraham of faith, what was he doing with weapons? If Baba the bishop keeps weapon in the house, Mama no go sleep well. What? Na yuku ke yije egbe me. I'm speaking into the air. But don't be stupid. Don't be there and somebody will break into your house and touch your wife and touch your children and you're a man and you're there. And then they come and drag you out. When I read that John the Baptist was beheaded, I felt so bad. Jesus said, among all the prophets born of women, nobody's as great as John the Baptist. And they asked for his head. He just gave it. And he was sending people to Jesus. I want to know whether you are still the same Jesus. But he baptized him. And Jesus didn't bother to go and save him because the guy had everything it takes to save himself. A lion refused to roar. Elijah said, if I'm a servant of God and you talk to me like that, let fire come from heaven and roast you. First time, second time, the top people came and knelt down. The kingdom is a kingdom of princes. The kingdom of princesses. If you hear what Paul said, just Paul, not Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For the gospel of the kingdom did not come to you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know, what kind of men we were among you for your sake. We were not cheap. We were not cheap. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And of power. One day I was preaching in a conference like this. I had just stepped in. I had so much resistance in Bamenda. I had so much fight. And my staff said, let's go back to Nigeria. I said, give me a little time. One woman came. I said, Dad, I don't feel you should go. Give me time to mobilize the young people. He went and got young pastors who were not struggling for titles. And they gathered like this. I was grieving. I was wounded by the betrayal of big men. I had laid my life down to help them be established in Cameroon. And they led me to the meeting place. I was trying to preach and I couldn't. I just said, ah! I began to mention how many people who had different problems and there were some assaulting and breaking chairs and there was commotion. I said, where are the ushers? They said, Oga, you took us unawares. You should have preached before you started miracles. I said, I didn't have the grace tonight for preaching. The next day, the whole civic center was packed full. Outside was packed full. They got screens put everywhere in the halls and chairs. When you are wounded and you are crying and you are weeping because of betrayal by brethren, some brethren. A woman in Houston, Texas, wrote a book and asked me to write the foreword. You know the title of the book? Church Folks. I said, what's wrong with church folks? He said, they're dangerous. You see, the problem with church folks is that you are not supposed to fight against them. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, at the battle of Ziklag, the reason why David lost all the tents in his camp, because he left to join the Philistines to fight Saul. You're not supposed to fight your own camp. And they take advantage of that to hurt you. Satan, you know, buys some of them, and they agree to be bought. And the woman said to me, church folks, I'm sure the church folks have dealt with her. Church people, I know there are prophecies, good ones in the Bible, and there are good, bad ones. I tell God, don't let the bad prophecies be fulfilled in my life. If they're talking about bad church folks, it shouldn't be about you and me. It should be people that missed the road and came to church. It's important. If there should be a prophecy fulfilled, it should be good ones in your life. Acts of the Apostles chapter 11 to 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even everything, handkerchief, aprons with women from the kitchen were brought and demons were flying out. Sicknesses were being healed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 19, creation is waiting for the manifestation of your power, for the glory of God. What is glory? You know about power. You know about strength. You know about vigor. And for young people, the Bible says that the strength, the glory of the young people is in their strength. But what is glory? Glory is magnificence. It's something beautiful. The glory of the Olympics. The glory of success. You go to receive where they receive certificates, and they are calling many certificates. Number one, you are number one in this subject, you are number one in that subject, and everybody starts clapping. The source of glory and greatness and goodness is God, and it comes with His presence. That's why Moses will say, Father, show me your glory. Come to us and let's see the manifestation of your glory. It's a manifestation of power that's called glory. Exodus 19, verse 17, 18. God came down to the mountain, and the Bible said initially it was smoke. Later, okay. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. That's 17. That's early. Okay, let's go. And they stood at the what? The foot of the mountain. 18. Quick. 18, verse 18. Oh, God. And Mount Sinai was altogether in smoke because the Lord had descended on the mountaintop and He came in fire. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 said, His seat in heaven is a furnace of fire. He travels. He took Elijah by fire. He collects his offerings by fire. He joined the three Hebrew children inside fire. He sent the fire commanded by Elijah to kill his enemies. He's like that. The Bible said He's a refiner's fire. He refines us out of the debts and sin in our lives. God is used to fire. And the Bible says everywhere was covered with fire. But looking at verse 18. Because the Lord came there. And the smoke thereafter ascended. As the smoke of a furnace. Suddenly the smoke, brown and thick, changed into red flames. And the whole mountain began to quake. Baba has come. That's glory. That's glory. The beauty of superiority. In the olden times, there were local village wrestlings. When the drums begin to beat, some strong young men, not those of you who were fed with butter and bread, some strong, tough young men begin to wrestle. As they dance to the tune of the drum, and they lock arms, and whoever is able to carry one up and hit his bum bum on the ground will elicit noise everywhere. The glory of the strength of a young man. God is full of it. And the glory of God was so powerful. His glory was made manifest in the night. by a pillar of fire to show them the way. And the night by a pillar of cloud to provide air conditioning from the sun. For 40 years, nobody had sun stroke or heat stroke. They were protected and preserved, their dresses and their shoes. There was no supermarket, but nobody died out of hunger. There was no tank, but they had water. It's not a wonderful thing. For 600,000 people, men, aside women and children, and the animals, the glory. That's why Moses said, except your presence go with us. I'm not stepping out, because there's no way I can provide for these people on the journey. That glory turned to be a weapon of warfare. If you come to fight them, the glory will leave the back and go to the front and face you. And when they pass, the glory will leave the front and go to the back to protect them. The glory has a multiple function and change into different formats as the Holy Spirit will direct. Glory. Glory. And that's how he led them. And they fought their battles and they got into the promised land. Tonight, may the Lord give you strength, give you insight, give you grace and the ability to demonstrate glory at a greater height. In the name of Jesus Christ. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8 to 9. The Bible said, the glory of the latter shall be greater than the former. You've heard about glory before. You've seen glory. You heard that Moses had his own glory that made his face shine. And the people couldn't look at his face. They had to cover Moses' face so that people can come close to him. When you walk into the glory of God and you stay long enough in that glory, for that glory to become part of you, the world will be afraid of you. The world will be afraid of you. And son, the world will gravitate towards you, because Adonai Akra in a town. Have you discovered Ifusam? Can you look at his face? They will be describing you as anything they like. He looks like a lion. He's not like a human being again. His face is like this, like this, like this, like this. That glory empowers you to walk. As you stay longer with God, you acquire, as you watch yourself in the mirror of God, that glory transforms you, reforms you to be like a God. If somebody comes to your presence and is telling lies, you'll be seeing the lies on one side. You'll be seeing the truth why the person came on one side. And when the person finishes telling all the lies, you see how you could see God, say, and give way and hear there no be osibia. Some of them will laugh and say, how did you know? The time you spend with God and the glory shined on you change you to be like God himself. And so you could read what's in the heart of men. You can have word of knowledge concerning what's going on. Before they even take off, you can fall into a trance and God will take you to a meeting they just had, show you their faces and the number of people and their agenda and everything. Before they get to your office, they say, now welcome. But I saw you in your meeting. You were this number. And this was the things you discussed. They'll look at each other. That is glory. Ebube. Oh yeah, when you Ebube. When they say that Ebube Jehovah Jureli Wejuwa, it's glory. Glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Some people are feeling asleep. Okay, I must close now. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of what? the glory of God, as of God, as the waters cover the sea. What does that mean? When you carry the glory and I carry the glory, and you are in every part of the world, and I am in other parts of the world, then the glory of the Lord shall be filled. Recently, there was a hurricane last week in the Caribbean, and it tore and scattered buildings. People ran into safe havens and big buildings like this. The flood carried waters with father and mother and children inside the car into the sea. What I'm describing happened. They sent me the pictures from Jamaica and sent me the pictures from St. Thomas, a Virgin Island of America. And I didn't talk. I was just there in Jamaica a few weeks ago. And the Lord didn't say anything to me about it. Why? A few years ago, 2013, the Lord sent me to Jamaica and he said to me, go tell the leaders that their sins have come to my nostrils and I'm going to deal with them. And I said, so, what does that amount to? He said, I'm sending a terrible hurricane. It will pass through Jamaica and it will wipe her out of the map of the world. I said, no, that's not fair. He said, go to the news. So the next day, I Googled and I discovered that Britain sent 3 aeroplanes loaded with criminals who are from Jamaica, who are in their jails. And they said, we can't be feeding about 900 criminals. Every plane carried 300 from one country, one island. They flew them into Kingston, Jamaica, offloaded them there. And these criminals began to torment the country. I don't know where they got guns. The bullets are not like normal bullets. They pierced through the bulletproof the police wears. I saw the bullets. They were big. Tell him when he finishes, he should tell us the revelation God gave him. Oh boy, yeah, wake up. Did you see God there? And they were killing everywhere. I don't know whether you have heard the story where they put a gun by my side and told me to chill. It was that on that visit. The pastors were crying. Everybody was living in fear. The police ran away. The type of gun these criminals had was stronger than the gun the police and the army had. I told them, as princes of the kingdom, you can control this. They were looking at me like, eh? I said, come, take me to the last place where they kill somebody. Let me show you what to do. The Bible said something we should do in Deuteronomy. So we went there, and as I was trying to explain to them, one man appeared from the side, one rickety house, with gun. And said to me, your wallet. I looked at him, said, me? My wallet? It could have sounded better if you said, your wallet. You come with gun, you say, Musimaduba, my wallet. He said, I kill people. And that's why I carry this weapon. Your wallet. I said to him, you're joking. He said, okay, I'll collect it. It will be at the expense of your life. I said, you are joking. Then he walked up to me and put the pistol in my tummy. This is my fat tummy. I said, this thing kills, and I live by killing people like you. I said, they may look like me, but they're not me. And by the way, when that your toy touched me, it lost its power to function. It's now an ordinary toy. So what do you mean? I said, try it. I said, I'll try it on you. And he shot me with a pistol. It didn't work. He shot on the ground. It didn't work. He shot in the air. It didn't work. He said to me, "Are you a witch?" I said to him, "I'm worse than a witch." Hey! Come and kneel down here or I kill you. Bring the toy. And because of what has happened, feverishly he brought his gun and gave to me. I said, "Repeat after me. Lord Jesus," said, "Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you." He said, "I surrender my life to you. Have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me." And when we finished, I said, "In Jesus' name." He said, "Yeah, man." I said, "At this I say, yeah, man." Say, "Amen." So when I finished with that, I took the gun. I wanted to give to the pastors that I came to teach on how to stop killing. They have all run away. When that guy came out with pistol, all of them did like this. And so I didn't know. I was looking at the boy, carried away with the boy. So I took the boy across the road to where the pastors ran to. I gave them the boy and the toy. And I gathered them and I showed them what to do. I said, "This could be the last person who will be killed in Jamaica." And that time God said to me, "Tell them, if they will put themselves together and come and ask for forgiveness, I will save them from that hurricane." So I told them. And they called for a national assembly of brethren. And they prayed and they fasted. The hurricane came. One third of Haiti. The eye was at the center of Jamaica. Why? They were watching it from everywhere in the world because satellite was showing it. The hurricane jumped the whole country of Jamaica, went to Grenada and wiped two thirds of it away, went to the and continued. And the noise was everywhere in the U.S. Hurricane doesn't jump anything. Anything in its eye must go down. How did Jamaica escape it? Because God, in His mercy, helped them escape the last one. They went back to sin, and God wouldn't tell me anything. This one, horror. Horror. And so if I walk into Jamaica today, the leaders come to the airport. They receive me like what happened in Acts of the Apostles chapter 14 verse 11 where Paul and Silas caused a cripple to walk and they say, "Ah! The gods have come down in the likeness of man." And they brought things to sacrifice to them. They said, "No, don't try that. Don't mess with us." When you land in a place, you land with authority, with confidence. And you carry yourself with dominion. And you demonstrate the power of God and the glory of the Lord settles down. How do you bring this glory? By walking in faith, not just faith, in dynamic, productive, transforming faith. By raising the dead, by causing the crippled to walk, by causing blind eyes to see. I was teaching some people in Bamenda. It was a small class for healing and deliverance. And I heard from my back, chains clinging on each other. A woman was dragging three mad people to my class for deliverance. I didn't come for deliverance of people in chains that were in the mad people's home. So I left my class, turned back, went to the woman to get her out of the way and continue with my class. And I grabbed her together with the three men who were mad. And I held them to my chest. I held them to long enough for the glory to settle on them. And when I knew that the demons couldn't handle the glory, they left. And I dropped them. They fell, you call it under the anointing. And I went to my class. And there was no distraction. I finished teaching. They still didn't get up. I never got up until I left the venue of the conference. I met the woman one day. I didn't recognize her. She said, "Sir, do you know me?" I said, "No, sir, no, madam." And so, she said, "I was the woman who came with three madmen to you in your conference. It was my friend's conference." I said, "What happened to the three men?" She said, "The four of us went down on the ground, and when we got up, none of us was a mad person anymore." I said, "So where are they?" She said, "One is working in a bank in Yaounde. One is doing business in Douala. One is working in a company in the U.S. Power and glory go together. The glory of a beautiful person. And in that conference, I went with a Nigerian from Lagos. He was asking me, "Dad, I want to walk in the grace that you carry." I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "I just want to do the things you do." I said, "I don't know about it." Elijah said to Elisha, "I can't give you my mantle until the owner of it says I should drop it. So if you are careful to see when I'm carried away and you shout enough for the man to know, and I'll drop it for you." So he followed me. And he went to that same class, was given to me the next day. I told people how you can be healed. I don't want to pray and donate prayers. When I finished, I told them, did you know what I told them? They have to be healed now. We're not offering prayers for them to collect and go home. So step out by faith. Now, whoever is coaching you influences you. There was a coach that took Nigerian under 21 to World Cup, and no country on earth beat them. They played and won every country and came home with the cup. And that's the only coach that has done that. And he's dead. And since then, nobody has been able to coach Nigeria. The same players play and lose everywhere. One man made them win. So you become a star depending on who is your coach. And so, I asked him to start. "We are not donating prayers. Is that clear?" He said, "Yes, sir." So he began to heal. And then they brought this monster. A child that does not walk, and never walked since he was born, does not hear, does not see, does not talk. Have you heard about monster? For him to heal. He shouted, "Da!" He turned back. I was nowhere to be found. Because as soon as he started praying, I tiptoed to the back of a big trunk, big tree, and hid myself there and was peeping from there. He screamed again. He asked people, "Did you see where the man went?" And, "Uncle, your friend said you should come and help me." "I come. Come." Do you know what happened? One of your friends called each other and said, "You need to talk to this guy. He's sleeping too much." And so, when he discovered that I was not there, what did he do? You're laughing. It will be your turn next. He summoned all the faith in the world, remembered everything I had taught and told him. And he was like, "God, it's me now, or you. Come and help me." And he said, "I come against you, spirit of disfigurement. Get out of this boy's ears. Get out of his eyes. In the name of Jesus." The dumb boy said, "Amen." Ah! At that time, he had courage. He said, "Drop him." They dropped the boy. He stood on his two legs, giddy-ba. The mother almost somersaulted. There was a riot. I peeped and I hit my head. And he kept dealing with the demons until the boy was totally free and was running around praising the Lord. The mother was praising the Lord. The father was praising the Lord. And the news went to the bigger conference. And there was uproar in the land. That is glory. That is glory. So, I managed to enter my car and ran to the hotel. The young man came back and said, "Dad, how did you come here?" I said, "In the car." He said, "Where did you go after we started praying for the people?" I said, "I was around behind the trunk of a tree there, and I was watching you." He said, "How far did you watch me?" I said, "I watched you when you delivered the monster. And when the monster became well, you removed your jacket and threw on the grass. And ministry began. You began to wreck and charge." So, "Dad, you saw all of that?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Daddy, I can't believe you could do that." I said, "Of course. That was the only way I could help you know. You carry what I carry." Everybody stand up. I'm going to ask you to be a prophet to somebody. And you face the person. And you said, "I come against everything in your life that will not allow the glory of God to settle. I come against every structure in your life that is not right, that will not allow the fire of God to settle on your life." When Moses built the tabernacle according to pattern, the glory fell. When Solomon built the tabernacle according to pattern, the glory fell. Let your life align with the pattern of God. Open your mouth and begin to prophesy. Hold that man. He's alone. He's walking up and down. Hold his hands. Speak like a prophet. Pray like a prophet. When the glory comes, every sickness runs away. Every spiritual cockroach and rat runs away. Let the glory fall. Let the glory come down. Come ahead. Go ahead in the name of Jesus. Speak like a prophetess. Speak like a prophet. Command everything that God did not plant in that body. So come on now. Find the nearest exit and disappear. That the glory will fall. Speak to sicknesses and diseases that they have found their way into that body. Now, from head to toe, let them disappear. Give them a command. 1 to 3. 1 to 5. 1, 2. As you count, command them out. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. Now, we are going to make a demand on God. He sits on flames of fire. He flies, he moves, he travels in the aeroplane of fire. He fights with the rockets of fire. You are going to prophesy to that fire 7 times to change your garments. That your new garment will become fire. Tell the Lord, "I'm getting ready to expand your kingdom, to promote your kingdom, and to fill the earth with your glory." Hear me like you had Elijah. As I invoke the fire in your presence, in the name of Jesus, We're going to do that 7 times. That's nothing about the number except that it helps your faith to rise as you do it. You are calling the fire that God uses, the fire that Elijah used. You want that fire to become your own now. So I'm going to start counting by 1. And when I say 1, you will shout fire. It's like Elisha came to River Jordan. Where is the God of Elijah? You are invoking it. And when it happens, some people who have demonic challenges and they didn't know will fall. Don't look at them all. Some people who are under attack may fall. Don't look at them. Because the head of the arrow shot against them will be burnt and the arrow will drop and they will fall. Some people will be detached from a foundation of error when the fire comes. And so I'm going to count 1 to 7, and you are going to call the glorious fire of God to be another garment for you that eyes cannot see. But the wicked will say it. Number 1! Sukaramahantaka. Number 2! Number 3! Number 4! Picture in your spirit that you are advancing like the army of Joab, the commander of the army of David. You are invading the territory of the enemy. You are scattering things. You are not sparing anything. Number 5! Number 6! Come on! Number 7! Go ahead, and begin to pray. Put on the garment of fire, the garment of glory. Go ahead. Dive into the river of fire. Clothe yourself with fire clothing. Begin to make declarations. I shall never be at the back again. I shall be on the front line. The enemy shall never steal from me any victory. I'm going back to recover every victory stolen from me, from my father, from my mother, from my brother, from my sister. If they are suffering, send the fire of deliverance to recover them. To recover them. To recover them. No more in the backyard. No more from the side. I'm coming to the front line. No more no for an answer. Fire! Let every door open to you. Every good door open to you. Fire! Let every Goliath's head be in your hand. Let the power of darkness bow to you.
Like fire, like rain, let it go.
Go ahead. Now begin to deliver every member of your family. That voice must be known. It must not compete with the loudness of my voice, so you don't weary me. Lower that. Whoever controls the volume, use your head. This mic should be the loudest microphone in this house. Go ahead now. Go. You are now a liberator. You carry the fire of God. You are indestructible, undefeatable. Go ahead and deliver your brothers, your sisters, your cousin, your anybody, your friends who are in trouble. Go ahead and rescue them. Even if they are dead, raise them back to life. You carry the grace. You carry the grace. You carry the grace. You carry the grace. Asaba must be filled with the glory of God. This house must be filled with the glory of the Lord. The Bible said as they were worshiping the Lord, the glory came into the house. They couldn't see each other. They stopped what they were doing. The glory took over. It's, come on, let that glory fill this house. Let the glory fill Asaba as the water covers the sea. Let the wickedness going on in clubs where girls are half naked, where boys are made use of, where they are doing rituals, everywhere there's wickedness. When the glory comes, it judges wickedness, it releases the captives. Come on, command all the captives, young boys, young girls, everywhere in the club, everywhere in drinking places. Let the fire move through the clubs. Let them somersault under the anointing. Let the bottles of alcohol scatter. Let them start looking for this church. Let them start, neighbors, start looking for you. I know one man from Port Harcourt. His house is like a market. People gravitate, government officials everywhere. Why? The man carries the fire. Now that you carry the fire, come on. Let the Lord open your eyes to where the sinner is. They must be born again. Your relations must be born again. They must be rescued. And let them come to the glory of this house. Pastor Sam, the glory of the latter, the glory of this house shall be greater than the former. The glory of this house shall be greater than the old glory. And it shall cut men and women. It has a pool like the net of Peter. The fishes will gather and the net will begin to tear. You will go from one service to three services every Sunday. The glory has the pool. People will come when they know that if they come, they will have solution. They will have answers. I made a stop on my way from Ibadan to Lagos, and they showed me a boy that has seizure 3 times every hour. He must be carried up and thrown on the floor. And I said, the last seizure is the last seizure in your life. In the name of Jesus. The father didn't say amen, because it didn't make sense. They've gone to hospitals and wasted money. But his friend who connected them to me said amen. And I've said what I said. They called me this morning while I was here. That it's 7 days since I passed through Lagos, that the boy had never had any seizure. Your word will become law. You just speak it. Then it will look like too ordinary because you're a human being. Right there where you are, let the glory rest on you.